Hey guys, this is Nikki.
This is Sam.
Welcome back to So What? What's Next?
I spent the bag on the bundle. Turn around and take a flip and make a double. Listen, baby, with me you ain't never gotta struggle. I'm in the game 650. Catch a triple double. Watch it tumble, tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling. This is coming in. Keep on tumbling. Watch it tumble, tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling.
Welcome to the So What? What's Next podcast. Nikki, we've done it. The Wi-Fi is aligned. The phones are aligned. The kids are aligned.
Oh, we are here. God. We have weathered the storm, okay? We've literally weathered the storm of every technical issue, every family issue that came up when trying to record over the last 3 weeks. Isn't that crazy?
It's been like a month.
The devil is so busy. Like, we literally have things to do, things to talk about, and everything that could go wrong every week, something was popping up. So it's good to see you, Sam.
Well, you know, we have saw each other since the last recording.
We
saw each other at a football game, which that was great.
Yep, we were there for the Clemson debacle. We managed our expectations.
Yes, but they fought really, really hard. Never forget that. Never forget how hard they fight. So we was at the FSU Clemson game. We did link up there.
Yeah. We celebrated kids' birthdays.
Two birthday parties. Caden had hers. Chance took him to Legoland. Caden did. Yeah. She went to tour at FAMU, right?
Yep, she did the HBC tour at FAMU. Mm-hmm. She did a tour at Florida State.
Right.
She went to the football game, and that Sunday, we then did the skate party with her and her girlfriends. And then on her actual birthday, we had another party. So we partied for almost 4 or 5 days straight for Mini Cat turning 13.
All right. What are you going to do for Sweet 16? Y'all going to Paris?
Don't do us. Don't do us, okay?
Hey, I like the high life over there. Y'all inspired me.
You know, we do what we can. You know, you've been able to expand your business. You've had some, you know, new acquisitions on your end. A lot of great things happening for us. You know, we deserve.
We deserve. It's our season. It is our season.
This is your season.
Go ahead, come through.
A favor. Come on.
Come through.
You know what, Sam? If I could sing, I would sing all the time. You know that? Like, everything I would do would be in harmony. Like, I would literally sing all the time.
Mm. That would be amazing. I don't think that you can't not sing, if that makes any sense.
You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be my hype man. But, you know, honest to goodness, if I could sing, my middle sister can sing. She has a beautiful voice. Oh. My bonus mom can sing, has a beautiful voice. That gene just bypassed me, you know. I can't be perfect at everything.
You can't have it all.
I gotta let that soak in. But on a serious note, we want to, you know, open up today's podcast acknowledging a couple of things that have happened since we last recorded. Early this morning, I think we were all shook. We woke up to the news around takeoff. One third of the group, the original group, the Migos, that he was shot in Houston, shot and killed at a dice game. You know, very unfortunate, very sad. You know, the timeline has been filled with nothing but, you know, condolences, RIP, SIP, in reference to this whole situation. And it's very, very sad. I pray that, you know, the families are able to find peace, sympathy and condolences to them. I will not even hold you and say that, you know, seeing that he was 28 years old.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Like, he was born in 1994. And I think in 1994, I was in middle school. Right. Yeah. So it's really sad and unfortunate to hear that news. Very, very startling. You know, I think before, when we didn't have access to things immediately and we're not as informed as we are now. We were able to process things better. But I think, you know, there's always going to be that time where someone passes or expires that we're never going to be ready for or to hear.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, condolences to Takeoff's family, his group members, you know, everyone that is a part of his circle in his life, man. Because, you know, we always say it, but Black men deserve to grow old. Yeah, they deserve to live into their 80s and 90s. And unfortunately, it hasn't really improved.
Yeah, it's man, that was just, waking up to that was just crazy. Like, I was like, you know, because I woke up, I think I woke up like 3 a.m. I was like, I was like, that can't be true. That's how I felt. Like,
right.
That can't be true. And then I went back to sleep. I decided to take off work today. to be great, but then as the news just kept pouring in, I just felt badder and badder and badder. Like, dang, this is crazy, man. That dude is way too young to be, and it's like a young Black rapper every month is like getting gunned down, killed.
Yes, because PNB Rock was gunned down during this last month, right?
Yeah.
You know, out to eat, and you know. It's just really sad, very unfortunate. You know, I always think when these people die or these people expire the way that they do, I always put myself and say, okay, when I was 28, what was I doing? Right. If I was, you know, when I was in my early 30s, what was I doing? What was I, you know, listening to, what was I eating? How was I dressing? Like, I think of all these things and you just think of how there's so much life left, you know?
Yeah.
Even when you were in your teens, in your 20s, you thought 30 and 40 was old, right?
Yeah.
And now you're just happy that your friends make it to 40, you know, and older. So again, you know, sympathies to that family. And I'm hoping that there is a wake-up call to our Black men to be protectors, not just of Black women, not just of their children, but of each other.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's just terrible. It's just terrible. It's a tragedy. I just hate that, especially when somebody's successful and they get out of here. That, like imagine, you know, you reaching, like, all your goals and you start to live your best life, and then just like that is snatched away from you. It's sad to think about. That's got to be the most tragic thing of all time. Like, you know, it's
absolutely
it's crazy. But anyway, let's move on to
let's segue into some other other topics. I know that we last left off around football, so between our college and NFL hot takes, you know, I'm kind of proud to say that, you know, we kind of be knowing a little bit of stuff. But I am going to take this time to kind of flex a little bit to say that I have definitely been more right than I have been wrong.
You have.
The only thing that people are not letting me forget is how I was riding so hard for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and this is also a good time to point out that the Atlanta Falcons are actually leading the AFC South. I'm sorry, the NFC South for the first time in a long time.
I got to be honest with you, Nikki. Nobody cares because that division is horrible.
Nobody cares at all, because you know why?
They're just putting their fans through watching an extra football game by going to the playoffs.
So remember, okay, so we're recording on Tuesday, November 1st. Today is the NFL trade deadline, and this is the most active the NFL trade deadline has been in ages, right? The Dolphins just acquired Wilson and Chubb. You know, Cheetah is showing his ass down there in Miami. Jalen Waddle was
having really good for y'all, too. He's been good.
You know, you give a quarterback weapons and imagine what happens, right? Didn't you say that Justin Fields of Chicago needed weapons, right?
Yeah,
and that's even more evident now. I know that you had a couple of hot takes on your Jags. You want to kind of fill us in there?
Okay, first of all, I am not down yet on my Jags because I only got us winning 7 games. So we only 5 away, not that far off. We losing every game at the end. It's a young football team. So I'm still not as down on the Jags. I mean, I complain about them every Sunday because that's what I do. But
that's your brand.
That's my brand. But at the same time, I'm not that down on them. They do got to get them some more weapons. I need Doug Peterson, the great Doug Peterson, who everybody loves, who he can do no wrong, to stop letting Trevor throw the football on the 1 yard line. Stop letting him do that. If we can just stop that, I think we can win two more games, at least two more games.
So that'll put you at 9, or is that going to put you right at the 7?
It probably put us right at the 7 because I think they got a couple more wins in them. Your Saints picks, ooh. I hate it for Jameis because I think he's done now. Like I think he's.
I don't want to say it out loud, but I think he is. You know, four vertebrae.
I think
four.
Well, I think he's going to hit this. I think his career is going to look somewhat like Geno Smith's career.
Yeah.
I remember the guy Chandler. I forgot what his name was. Chandler something that played for the Atlanta Falcons way back in the day. The Rich Gannon. Remember Rich Gannon had like
Rich
a long
Gannon.
Career.
Then oh, wow. Look at
then
you.
At the end of his career, he started playing really well. I think Jameis is finna, he's finna hit that place where he's a backup for 6 years, 7 years. And then he gets on the right team at the right time and he does eventually have the kind of career be like, oh, he was a
good Mike Vick on the Eagles, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's gonna have to, because I hate it for him because I really think he's been mirrored with a bunch of bad luck, to be honest with you. But, you know. You are what you are. After about year 5, year 6,
you
man.
You are what you are, right?
But Geno Smith has been like the biggest story, though.
I'm so happy for Geno. So happy for Geno because I think for the longest, they were down on him. I remember the whole New York Jets thing. I remember a whole bunch of...
Got punched in the face by his teammate.
You know, just him not being cerebral and all these other different things that they say about black quarterbacks. But I'm really happy for him. I mean, again, he's no Russell Wilson, but even Russell Wilson isn't Russell Wilson this
Russell
year.
Wilson. Yeah, that's true. Jazz made him look good though. They found a way to bring him back
in London. Yeah. But I say all this to say that I'm very proud of my Miami Dolphins. I love my black head coach, Mike McDaniel. He continues to impress. You know, I love uplifting black men. And Mike McDaniel is one of those that I will constantly ride for as he continues to churn out. Making Tua look at MVP. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Ooh.
It's very impressive what they've been able to do, how they've been able to finagle it. I think Flores, again, I think we shared on previous pods that he was heading down the right path. I just think they would not give him the autonomy that he desired. And, you know, it blew up. But having, Mike McDaniel there has made a difference. I think he's the one calling the plays as well. He's more offensive-minded. Weak arm or not, Tua's getting them W's. I still am very concerned about those concussions. Still very concerned.
That was ugly, wasn't it? That was ugly early in the season watching him kind of and Mike. I wasn't that mad at Mike McDaniel with the whole situation, but because I think certain times coaches want a certain amount of ignorance to what's going on around them. Like, they don't
want
they want the plausible deniability. He really came off like, I'm totally out of that stuff. I'm not even getting near it. And I didn't really like that because I thought that was an opportunity for him to step up and say, okay, man, you're not playing this week, especially on a short week. Come on, man. Like,
I think that was a missed opportunity for sure. Mike McDaniel's the one who basically is in the group chat and says, oh, I'm just not seeing this.
Who put this
Sorry,
in there?
Sorry, guys, I saw this.
been busy all day.
right. And then to try to quickly course correct by firing the doctors and, following this protocol, a missed opportunity. But, I'm hoping that, Tua, when he's 40, that he's able to remember this. I hope when he's 60, he's able to remember what's going on and that he's in a good space. What are some of the other NFL hot takes before we go to college football?
I think I'm going to be right about Buffalo. I think I'm going to be wrong about the Chargers, though.
Woo!
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah. All right. Good God. They got to fire that guy, man. Fire that guy. Fire Brandon Staley. Get him out of there. What are we doing?
Do the
Lord's work. Get Sean Payton in there. Do the Lord's work. Let's get
him. Might
it
as well. Might as well. Now, I will tell you that the Cowboys have surprised me.
They have.
I will also share...
But this is who the Cowboys are, though. They're gonna get into the playoffs.
They're gonna do well, and they're gonna that first round exit is gonna be lovely.
That's when they stick it in. That's when they stick it right in the chest with that knife, like right there when you're expecting them to like feed you at dinner.
It's that's
like,
it.
It turns red wedding on you.
That's it. Now you want to know where I'm getting ready to gloat?
Go ahead.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, he's been so good. God, hurts been good.
Did I not say Philly was my sleeper team? I'm like, I just see it. Philly is my sleeper team. They got Jalen some weapons. They got him some protection. I was watching some cut-ups of Jalen Hurts. And the pocket is not on. Like, this man literally has, like, almost 4.5 seconds.
They are the best team on the line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively, in the
Absolutely.
NFL. They're the best line of scrimmage team in the NFL. I watched them against the Jaguars. And I know people be like, Sam, it's the Jaguars. But Jaguars has actually been really good in the front four on defense.
Mm-hmm.
They've been really good against pretty much everybody they played, especially early in games. And Jaguars dominated the Chargers up front. But when they played Philly, I was like, good God. And like, Philly just going to move them every single – like, Philly just going to move them 2 yards every single time it's time to run the football. Like, that's just what they do. Like, that's just
what they do, push them back. That's what they do.
And shout out to that podcast with Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. That podcast they got together is excellent.
I do like the brothers. I started listening to it.
He is so funny. The center is so funny. Yeah, Jason Kelce is hilarious.
Yeah. I did not know. I'm not even going to hold you. I thought it was going to be a little lame. I'm not even going to hold you. I thought it was going to be a little lame. I thought it was going to be very scripted, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to it is so good. It's so good. I love that intel. I just feels very organic, feels very natural. I'm a big fan.
He said something in that podcast that makes so much sense. He said, he asked Travis Kelce, he said, 4th and 1 on the 1-yard line, 4th and 1 anywhere on the football field, what's the play call? And Travis is like, he's thinking. He said, it's quarterback sneak, Travis. It's quarterback sneak. He told him, do you not know the quarterback sneak works 92% of the time when it's ran?
92%.
He said 92%. He said, it kills me that all you great offensive playmakers and all these offensive savants calling plays don't understand.
You get up there and you're in shotgun formation. I think I say it every week. Why are you in shotgun formation?
Oh my God.
What are we doing? Such
a great point. He was like, it's quarterback sneak. He said, and you can run the quarterback sneak 5 different ways. It's no way to stop it.
Yeah. It's not you running the same play twice or you going through the same lane of crease twice, right? Yeah. Like, there's so many ways to do it. Dude. But what do? They line up in shotgun and then end up being the interception, right? Incomplete pass. Like, or they get sacked because literally they're right there. They're trying to check down and they don't have enough time. But
oh my God. I love that
pod. Y'all got to check that out. I do like the pod. Switching to college football. So I think I was very clear in stating that Florida State, I had them at 6.5, taking them at the under 6 wins for the season.
They're gonna beat that, I think.
They only need one more win.
Yeah.
One more win. I think, you know, the next win makes us bowl eligible, right?
Mm-hmm. That'll be against Miami this week.
Yep. So we got Miami. It is officially Miami Hate Week. Always love this game. It's going to be played down in Coral Gables. I got us winning. I don't have score predictions yet. I'll probably do that on Thursday or Friday morning. But as of right now, I'm really excited about this game because I believe that Miami is in shambles. They went from, you know, we are coming to take everything to now this is a full rebuild. They have major losses to Duke, to Middle Tennessee State, among other teams. Barely beat Virginia this weekend. So, you know, this is an excellent time to pounce on the Hurricanes, and I'm hoping that we show up and show out past the first scripted drive.
Absolutely. So I think Florida State's going to win about 8 games.
I think you said 7 or 8. You might have said 8 or 9.
I know I was around 8 to 9, somewhere around there. I said with the bowl game, maybe 8 to 9 with the bowl. But yeah, I think they win 8. I think they probably get the 9 also, because I think Florida's, they're slowly just
Disintegrating
down there.
And, yeah, literally imploding. One of the things that has definitely surprised me this year is Tennessee.
So I was wrong about Bama. I thought Bama would be like next level great this year. They got to fire that defensive coordinator. They should have fired him probably 3 years ago, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Like, there's no reason. Like, Tennessee is good. I'm not knocking Tennessee. 56, 59 points, man. Seriously.
Yeah. They're putting up basketball scores instances.
You got Will Anderson over there. You got Will Anderson over there. There's no reason for Tennessee to be dropping 50 points on the Alabama defense. Fire that defense
Tearing them up.
I don't care what he do for the rest of the season. He got to fucking go. But
Obviously, he's not going to be there next year, right? Saban rotates coaches in and out so often. Like, at this point, he's already interviewing candidates for that role, right?
It's time. Because it's
Bill O'Brien is probably going to transition back to the NFL either this year or next year, right? So I think
Bill O'Brien ends up at Georgia Tech, actually.
Do you? Because I saw the little crazy rumor about him going to Auburn, but I don't believe he's going to Auburn.
They want a recruiter, man. They want a guy that's going to get in there and mix it up and recruit with the Bamas and the Georgias of the world. You know, that's what they want.
Yeah. I personally do not see Bill O'Brien staying in college football too long. I think he really misses the NFL, the bigger game, the bigger fish.
Mm-hmm.
But say all that to say that, you know, Tennessee has been impressive. I honestly believe that, you know, Georgia and Bama are only, 1 and 2 because preseason polls, right? Polls have them had them at 1 and 2, so they're going to stay there. But honestly, Ohio State and Tennessee, in my opinion, again, my opinion, me, Nikki, I believe Tennessee and Ohio State are number 1 and number 2. I honestly believe that.
Well, I think as we sit here right now, they are. But I think Georgia and Tennessee are going to play this weekend. I do think that's going to get sorted out really, really quick. I like Tennessee, okay?
Mm-hmm,
so
but...
I want people to take this as – saying want to rain on the cupcake parade and stuff, but they're not finna score 50 points on Georgia. That's just not finna happen.
No, but I think they score enough. I think they score enough to win. So I believe they're gonna confuse the hell out of Stet, right? Because
Georgia finna go run that 3 tight end set they love to run because they got 3 tight ends that is just it's a cheat code what they got at tight end because they can run the football at you and then with those same tight ends can go deep, which is insane because Bowers literally is like a wide receiver. But so I think they're going to run that 3 tight end set because anytime they get in any trouble, they put them 3 tight ends in there and they make you put them slow linebackers in there and they just go to town on you.
But I also think that, you know, like between Hooker and Heisman, like Hooker has to be a Heisman candidate at this point, right?
He deserves a Heisman. If they don't lose but one more game, which I do think they're going to lose against Georgia, and he wins out, he deserves a Heisman, period.
And literally, I don't know. I like Georgia's going to really have to do some good bump coverage in order to keep Hyatt, like, literally on lockdown because that man is a menace. Do you hear me?
The trick to beat in Tennessee is you cannot run zone against them, man.
You can't. You got to man up. They're going to stuff the box, right? Because they're obviously going to try to force the run because they don't want Hyatt to get out there and get like 3 or 4 touchdowns on him like he's been doing the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to try to force the run, but I just honestly believe that they're going to scheme around it. Heupel has done such an amazing job
He's been great this year, man.
Of literally scheming around what the defense gives him, right? Oh, you're going to do this? Okay, we're going to do that. Okay, you're going to stop us on the run. Okay, we're going to do some out routes with Hyatt. Like, we're going to run some inside slants. We're going to do, like, he's literally mixing it up. And I love to see it. This is what, year 3 for Heupel, right? Year 2 or year 3?
2.
Year 2, and it's an SEC juggernaut. Like, who thought Tennessee would be this good this year? I don't think anybody had them this high up. I think they were ranked. I think the early projection was that they were going to finish in the top 20, but no one had them top 10, hell, top 5. But love to see it. Love to see Ohio State doing, you know, Ohio State things. I think I was, you know, tweeting you, letting you know that they handled the Nittany Lions of Penn State. I think the only game that may give them some real trouble is going to be Michigan.
Yeah.
And I still have Ohio State beating the shit out of Michigan because Harbaugh always nuts up, right?
If they get the scary thing about Ohio State is they really haven't been healthy at wide receiver yet. They've really been kind of playing.
No, Marvin Harrison Jr. has been cutting them boys up, routing them up left and right.
With his Apple Watch on. With his Apple Watch on.
That man said he got to close. He said he got to close them circles. Forget what you heard.
But that's funny.
Drake May continues to impress at North Carolina.
Been really good.
As a freshman, he's really, really being, you know, very. If Hooker's not having the year he's having, Drake May's in that Heisman conversation. I still think he is to a certain extent. But you know, you just got some really good quarterback play from Stroud, from Hooker, from what's your boy's name? From even Bryce. Bryce Young and Bama.
Just haven't been incredible because those wide receivers are not playing great this year.
No, and I think Drake is doing such a good job of assimilating into that offense. He learned under Howell, had some time to really digest that offense, to be able to come right in there and take over. So, you know, I think the other sleeper that caught me off guard was UCLA.
Oh.
Like, UCLA is really, you know, competing in the Pac-12. I know USC lost. They have one. I think they're still top 10, if I'm not mistaken. But UCLA having the year they're having, I was not prepared for that.
Yeah. They're actually one of my favorite teams to watch, UCLA.
Really?
I love watching their offense, man. He do so much with those old linemen. Like, it's pulling center, guard, right, running left with tight end flying the other way. I mean, and DTR is playing really good. They're one of my favorite offenses to watch, to be honest with you. Like them, Tennessee, of course. I like watching your guy.
Lincoln. USC.
Yeah, Lincoln.
Yeah, you know.
And TCU. Whew, they got some burners too.
So I ain't even gonna hold you. I have not watched a TCU game this year. I have not. And to be honest, because of being occupied on the weekends, I have not been watching as much football.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
As I want. So a lot of times I'm watching them on Sunday because I'm recording the games and having to watch them on my own time.
A little busy on the weekends, eh?
Oh, are we doing that?
In the next segment, we are.
But I say that to say that I have not watched any TCU games, so I need to change that. I need to definitely get some actual games into my lexicon, my football lexicon, because I've just been focused on, you know, like literally seeing OSU, Florida State, Tennessee.
But you know, shouts out to Jordan Travis, though. He's been really good. Like, I mean, he had a bad two-game stretch there.
I don't put the whole thing on him, right?
He's been pretty good for Florida State. He's been a top 25 quarterback leading, to me.
He's been leading in most of the statistical categories in the ACC. So, as far as QBs go. So, you know, I'm never going to talk bad about 5-6-1. You're not going to be able to get me to do it.
He's been good. I think he's been good. He's been good.
The highlight was that. My baby got to meet him because she's a big fan. So when we were there for the Clemson game, she got to get pictures with Kalen DeLoach, and she got to get pictures with Jordan Travis. We missed Bethune, but we got pictures with Tater Bethune's mom. Really, really love her. Shout out to my sore. Okay. But seeing Jordan, I was like, hey, you are not 200 pounds.
Oh, no. me and Minnie was talking about that while we was at the game. When she had to go on her ice cream retreat and I had to go on my ice cream.
When she admonished you to go to get ice cream.
And I had to go get me some ice cream also, you know, adult beverages. She was like, you know, you're bigger than Jordan Travis. I'm like, yeah, he's not that big. She was like, I can't believe he's so small. I'm like, yeah. I said, you'll be surprised. A lot of these football players, they be talking about, don't be that big when you meet them in person.
Yeah. She was just like, "Mom, he's not as tall as I thought he was." And I was like, Yep.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we cheer him on anyway. That's the whole thing.
Like you meet Peter Warwick, you be like, okay.
Small like guy. You know, I think for a lot of people that it's crazy to them when they actually see like Snoop and Dub and see even Laverne Coles, right? Yeah. When you see them, it's like, wow, like y'all did a lot of damage to be 5'10". Like
yeah. It's very surprising.
5'10" on a good day.
Yeah.
When it's hot outside.
I was telling my little cousin because you know he's playing football for Lake City and you know he's getting recruited by USF and all these other schools and everything and he was like I got to get taller because I want to be like 6'2". I said, dude, in football height in college football you are 6'2" right now. He was like, really?
They're gonna pad your
stat. I said, they're not that tall, dude.
Really not.
He's really like, not. Really? He was like, I can't believe that. I was like, yeah, I'll let you meet some football players. They'll be that tall.
Like, even basketball players, right? They're already tall and they still throw stuff on top of them, right?
Yeah. Because I know AI know. Was like, when I seen AI, he's easily 5'10". But one thing I will say, his arms as long as a 6'8", 6'9" person. He got some long arms.
AI used to be in Atlanta a lot. I used to see him here a lot. And when I tell you, I felt like I was looking him in the eye.
Yeah. Not that tall.
You know, but the talent is there, right? Like that's all that matters. But yeah, no, I'm really, really pleased that we were able to call some of these things. And not saying that we are, you know.
So who do we got?
Adamus, but, you know, I think we had a couple of good things from the squads. I think you recognize that you were wrong about Oregon.
Yeah.
But right about, you know, Notre Dame, right about Florida State, right about a couple of other teams.
Yeah, I thought Oregon would be a dumpster, but they look like they look competent. They look okay.
Yeah, they're not a dumpster. They're just more organized trash, right?
Like yeah, they look they don't
you
look
know,
bad.
They make Bo Nix competent enough.
Anybody that can make Bo Nix look good, I gotta give him props. So
award winning.
Yeah, so as we go. Who you got? You still got Ohio State. Who you got in the Final Four?
Final Four. Let's go. Final Four. Ohio State. USC.
I think UCLA is going to beat USC.
And if they do, I ain't even going to put that juju out there. So Ohio State, USC. Georgia. Mm-hmm. Bama. I just feel they're gonna find a way to get Bama in there.
They got the easiest road. They just gotta win out and they just gotta win the SEC championship game.
That's it. And if they're won by the SEC championship, right? Yeah. And they lose, they're still in.
Well,
same thing that happened last year.
They've already
right?
got one loss, though. You got to remember that. They lost to Tennessee. So they can't afford a second loss. So they just got to.
What I'm saying is they went out, right? But if they're the number one seed, let's say Georgia loses to Tennessee this weekend, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But in the SEC championship game, even if Bama loses, if they're the number one seed and they lose, they're still going to be in the top four. There's no way they're not going to vote Bama in.
Yeah, they really want to. Yeah, I think TCU is going to continue to wipe, to burn through the Big 12.
Big 12, yeah. You think so?
I think TCU gets the number four spot. I think USC is good. UCLA is more physical, and USC has been kind of struggling with physical teams this year. Like, I watched them. They did lose against UCLA. I mean, not UCLA, but what's the damn team? The red team? God, Cal Winningham team?
What are you talking about?
They lost this year already, USC.
Yeah, to Utah.
Utah. So they struggle with physical teams. UCLA is a very physical team. UCLA is going to beat them. That'll knock them out. So I do think you get TCU, Ohio State. And I think we're gonna have it where you're gonna get two teams from the SEC again, which is very aggravating.
Very annoying.
No, they're not. Clemson's gonna get in. So you're gonna have Clemson.
Ah, you got Clemson TCU, in?
Well, I mean, if you just look at it, man, like Clemson just got, they got to beat Notre Dame this week. Now, I am going to tell you this. If Clemson has to play UNC in an ACC championship game, that is going to be a game.
That's going to be a game. It's going to be like literally a that's juggernaut. Gonna be a it's going to go back. It's going to be nothing but offense.
Yeah, that's going to be a game. So that's where it's going to get weird. Where I think it's a possibility that we do get some a two-loss SEC team with a one-loss SEC team. It's going to be weird because I do think Ohio State is going undefeated. TCU, give me one of the three, Bama, Georgia, Tennessee. And then I think Clemson gets in. But if Clemson loses, all bets are off, you're going to get two SEC teams. And that's going to be out of Tennessee, Georgia, Bama. So, because Tennessee don't have another loss on their schedule.
They don't.
And to be honest with you, it'd probably be better for Tennessee to lose Georgia this week, not play in the SEC championship game at all, and just sit it out. And let
just
Bama,
sit it out because and whoever, Bama and they're going to lose.
Yeah, let Bama and Georgia go at it, and then you still get in if Clemson loses, right? So, because there's a lot of
magic that has to happen.
Yeah, TCU though is a scary team, scary proposition for everybody. If you're Ohio State, you're Bama, you're Georgia, with all the speed that TCU has, man, they come at you in waves. Also, with all that speed, they got a really good wide receiver core. Shout out to Sonny Dykes. That's Riley's little brother over there with that offense.
Yeah, I need to check them out. You have me interested for sure. Mm-hmm.
They put a number on your ass. They will put a number on your ass. You ain't ready
because,
to
you know, I was all Big 12 when Link and Caleb was there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I was all Big 12. And then, of course, once they left, I was like, let me go ahead and shift my allegiance to L.A.
I would honestly say the Big 12 is probably a better conference right now than the ACC, if I'm just being honest.
I wouldn't go that far. I would.
I think they're top three teams, I think, with TCU, Oklahoma State, and K-State. They'll probably beat a lot of these ACC teams, to be honest with you.
All right, Sam. Here we go. All
right, just saying.
All right. This is exactly why.
So, Nikki, before we run into cuffing season.
Oh, here we go.
I gotta do this. Have you seen these viral videos of these crabs? Have you seen what's going on with crabs? Have you saw this?
I've seen them. And I'm gonna be honest with you. You gotta remember, I grew up in South Florida. So
Nikki,
I grew up
in Jacksonville.
Right. I've been cracking crab. I can remember even being 6 or 7 cracking crab because my mama told me she was tired of shelling it for me. She's like, if you want to eat crab, you're going to have to learn how to eat it. She's like, I'll show you how to do it. And from this point on, you got to do it if you want to eat it. Because she's like, I can't do mine and yours, right?
True.
So I remember her putting crabs in the pot and having to put the top on so they don't crawl out, right? I remember all these different things. But I'm like, why are y'all so distraught? Is it because they're setting them on fire in front of you? Or yeah, It feels inhumane.
They set them on fire. The tucking them into the air fryer. I just want people to take a step back and stop doing crazy stuff with crabs. Okay, don't do that.
I don't even think it's crazy though, Sam. Like, let's talk about it though, right?
You don't have to set crabs on fire. How else are you gonna, it's wrong.
If you didn't see them getting prepared, you would still tear them up. Right? If you didn't see how crab was actually prepared, or if you didn't do your own crab boils, right? You wouldn't care.
Nikki, you felt like it was okay for him to set that crab on fire at a hibachi table? You thought that was cool?
Now, I do think that was extreme. I also believe that was in Asia. I don't think that was here in the States. So I want to be clear. I think that video that went viral of them setting that large crab on fire was in Asia on that hibachi grill.
The fact they had the man voiceover screaming.
Now, that was funny. I'll tell you how much I love Black people. Because even in downtrodden times, we find ways to be funny as hell. Do you hear me? I think that's why they really hate us, because it don't matter what we going through, we find ways to be funny as hell. So when somebody put that voice over on the crab that's literally on the hibachi grill crawling, and the man lights it on fire with a torch, yeah. And you hear the scream. It's like, it felt real. It felt so real. But I say all this to say, people are in an uproar about how crab is being prepared. And I'm like, you understand what they do to chickens and cows and pigs, right? Like, they're slaughterhouses dedicated to cutting up the chicken so you can eat your wings on Saturday. Like,
all right, enough of this topic. Look, I'm out of here.
I'm just telling you, everybody's up in their feelings about how you're preparing seafood.
Just be humane. All right. Get the boiling water. Get the boiling water.
If you don't want to eat the crab, don't worry about it, because that's for me and my house.
Hey, I'll put on that. When I see that black woman take all her crab stuff, the crab in that air fryer, I said, I know crabs hate black women.
Now, I promise you, that was funny because somebody tweeted, I don't think air fryers are supposed to be doing all the stuff y'all making it do. Because I have never once thought about putting
the whole crab
making a whole seafood boil in the air fryer. I have never once in my life thought about it. But remember, we're the same people that at one point we was only putting salmon and chicken wings in there, right?
That's it.
That's all we were putting in there. Now I put everything, lamb, chicken, seafood, like whatever I would cook on my stovetop is going in my air fryer. But I still never had the thought to put a crab in there. And that lady put it in there. And I think we kind of overlooked it because she has that beautiful New Orleans accent.
Yeah. So definitely wrong.
We just let her slide because it was like, oh, she sounds so good. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We willing to overlook her putting that whole ass crab in the air fryer.
two whole ass crabs.
Mm-hmm. With her vegetables and everything. And what's so funny, as we're talking about this, guess what just showed up in my feed? Mm-mm. A crab boil.
Jesus.
Big I'm Brother really be on it.
I'm
they
shaming everybody. If I see you eating crabs on the timeline, I'm shaming you. So anyway.
Well, be prepared. I will be ready to be shamed because we're not stopping anything over here.
I know.
We still gonna tear it down. But yeah, I know we've been kind of running on here, but I think there was one more topic that you threw the curveball on me and wanted to throw in that cuffing season talk and whatnot. Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
You lead us off?
No, you lead us off. It was your idea. I would love to extend the floor to you.
So, as everybody knows, November comes around. You got December. This is peak time for cuffing season. And for the most part, I don't partake in cuffing season, to be honest with you. I usually try to empty the roster out. Make some cuts.
Because you don't like buying Christmas gifts. You don't want to buy.
I don't want to be a part of these things. I don't want to partake in anything.
In October after Halloween, Sam shut shit down and be like.
We should be better as friends.
Sam transitions right to March. Like October.
Holler at me in March. You know what I'm saying? St. Patty's Day. I'm back for St. Patty's Day. Let's go drink.
Sam goes from happy Halloween to, are we going to the spring game this year? Like, bro, we got like 4 months. 4 months of some change before we can even discuss that. We don't even have a date for that yet.
But I will have you know this year, Nikki, I will be participating in cuffing season. This is true.
Look, let me tell you how good my God is. How my God bought that thing full circle. How you doing a whole 180.
Go ahead.
No, I just, that's it. My God is an on-time God. He got you doing a whole 180 where you actually are going to participate in winter this year.
I am going to participate in cuffing season this year. Very excited about it. Very excited about participating in cuffing season. I already got plans to meet godparents and everything. So
you want
to
know what's really cool about it is that I love how you're approaching this. Just even with our conversations, even your outlook, your thought process, like I see the changes. And I was like, look at Sam. I'd be so proud. I'd be on the sideline like a little proud auntie. Like, look at Sam.
You know. And you've been invaluable in this process.
you know, I try to do my part, you know.
You've been invaluable. And so the last thing I did for her, she said, make sure you tell Nikki thank you. I was like, well, why you don't think that was my idea?
How you know that wasn't me?
Yeah, and, how you know that wasn't my idea?
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Tell her she did. She said, tell her she did good. I said, whatever. So anyway.
How you know, I try to do my part in these streets. I be wanting my friends happy, healthy, you know, and in whole relationships, you know, being the best versions of themselves that they can be, because, you know, partners, you know, deserve to have. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Deserve to have a whole person. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
So I will tell you that, you know, the whole cuffing season thing was really funny to me years ago, because it was always one of those things where it's like, okay, linking up with somebody at least for the next 4 months, right? Let's see how this goes, because you got to make it through Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, Valentine's Day, right? That 4 month stretch can be brutal. And I think the only thing that upped the ante was the matching pajamas, right?
Oh, I don't think I'm doing that.
What happened?
I don't think I'm doing the matching pajamas now. I don't think I'm doing no pieces of matching pajamas.
Well, you know,
now.
don't throw out the baby with the bathwater now.
Don't mean it ain't gonna happen. What you say?
You know, look, because you say that now on November 1st and watch December 25th, I'm gonna be like, but you said.
Oh man. Right, you I'm gonna hold that.
But you know what happened? I think that took, and this is my personal opinion again. I never, like, I love getting the Christmas cards from my friends, especially when they have their cute little babies and they do the family photos and you get the cards. And then from family photos shifted from, you know, everybody in holiday dress in front of Christmas trees to everybody in matching pajamas. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is perfect because you can be comfortable. And I think that I noticed it more during the pandemic. But now it's no longer cuffing season. It's like, you know, matching pajama season. Literally, that's what people are trying to at least, you know, get through. So it's really interesting seeing that tide shift. It's also really interesting because the photos just keep raising the bar, right? The last couple of photos that I've seen, people are in beat faces, like custom pajamas with names on them embroidered. And
are we doing too much? Are we doing too much, Nikki, for cuffing season?
No, I don't think we're doing too much. I just was like, oh, the investment is there. Like, you know, it's not let's go on Fashion Nova and order some PJs. It's literally like, oh, no, we're going all out and we're going to step it up. But, you know, I would say that I am extremely excited for this season. It has been definitely great. I think there was this tweet that was going around, if not yesterday, today, but there's this woman who basically said that, you know, the one thing that she loves about her mate, or the one thing that she treasures, is that she doesn't have to do this alone. Meaning that if she needs help with the kids, her husband's right there. If she needs help with cooking, he will cook. If she needs help with washing the dishes, he does it. Laundry, folds, like anything she asks, he finds a way to be present. Mm-hmm. Right. And she's like, it's so easy to be submissive to a man who literally wants to be there for everything and wants to help me be a better person. And I think that's the one thing that I'm treasuring so much right now, where people that I've dated in the past are so willing to throw money at situations, right? If I ever need something, the first thing they're like, oh, well, here's an extra XYZ to take care of that, or here's an extra ABC to take care of that, right? It's always the money. But what I am being shown now is that the presence is everything. Like, the exact verbiage was literally like, I want you to have a relaxed life. I want you to be at ease with everything that you do in life. Like the text message said, like, I need a list of all your all the items that you want for Christmas by November 1st, which is today. So I need to get that over there. You know, like, literally, it's the intentionality. It's, okay, first we're going to iPIC, then we're going to the Luminarium, then we're going to dinner. Or it's, hey, you know, I know that you like Thai food, so I've ordered this and it's here and it's good. For example, my daughter's birthday party was on the 16th, I think. Yeah, the 16th. So we had to literally get up 6 a.m. from Tallahassee, drive all the way back to Atlanta for her party that started at 3 o'clock. And then I was just like, hey, party starts at 3. If you want to pull up, you can pull up. It's up to you. Then to literally show up, help me with all the teenagers, because now, every, you know, it's nothing but 13-year-olds around, right? So helping me tie their shoes, helping me to cut the cake, and helping me to get their food and everything, to the point where I actually was able to back away and I didn't have to do anything. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. Like, like, you know, like it just, the presence alone just makes all the difference, to the point where, you know, it's so funny because everybody enjoys my close friends, right? When I post on close friends, everybody loves the green bubbles because they just know it's some debauchery that's going on. We were watching, one time I posted, I think, we were watching football. And literally, I just posted us laying down watching football. No face, no case, right? That one post was met with, hey, big head, what you doing? Oh, I was just thinking about you. It was like, I mean, it was crazy. And I was like, you don't even know what this face looks like, right? You just see it posted and now everybody's in a tizzy. Which again, my whole thing is, even some of my friends sharing that in their certain relationship spaces, they're trying to navigate, what do they want in a partner? What do they want in their significant other? Trying to identify, you know, what patterns that they've been having in dating that have been successful, that haven't been successful.
Right.
To the point where I was like, everything that I've asked for or that I wanted literally is right here.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not even talking about physical things, right? It's just literally the attributes of being present, loyalty, respect, being a good listener, being affectionate, like literally the qualities that I wrote down for my 37th birthday, writing all those things down, believing all those things to happen, and knowing that they will, for it to just happen the way it did. It's kind of like, okay, this is new to you guys, but this is how we operate on this side. Right. So it's been very fulfilling to understand, like, hey, there's also room for me to grow, right? This person is very intentional about learning me, learning my patterns, learning my habits, things like that. And then here go my dumbass asking questions like, hey, what kind of dinosaur would you be? Like, you know about like my childhood, you know about like my extended family, you know all these things about me inside and out, and my dumbass is asking you, hey, would you rather be red or would you rather be blue?
Right, like, absolutely.
It was like, okay, no, you have to reciprocate that and return that energy with being intentional. And I will say that he's created such a safe space where it's easy to be vulnerable, where it's easy to be open, and where it's easy to have conversations or even ask questions that normally I would just be passive aggressive about.
Right.
So it's been, you know, a new season all the way around.
True.
It's been a good season. You know, I'm very excited. A lot of trips planned into 2023.
Nice.
Friendsmas is coming up. Friendsmas, you know, is our annual friend celebration here on this side of town, where all of our friends get together a week or two before Christmas to celebrate as a family before we celebrate Christmas with our actual families.
Right.
So this year we are celebrating in San Antonio. So now this is going to be like, hey, hey, everybody, this is us, right?
Right.
So, it's a fun time. It's a good time. So, you know, I would say back in my younger days, the whole cuffing season thing was always fun to joke about and always fun to, you know, say, okay, you're my pick for the next 4 months and then we'll see where we go from there, right?
Right, right.
So now it's kind of like, oh.
Oh, yeah. It's getting real.
You want to be here forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just, you know, with time brings change and that's a blessing in itself. Yeah. So I think both of us understanding what that 180 means in our lives has been absolutely eye-opening. It's been exciting. It's been fun. We learning more about ourselves and our capacity to love others. And I think the biggest part that I'll take away from that is that we did the work, right? We did the work on ourselves.
We did. We did. We did. I know we had several conversations about certain situations, and I know I had got to a certain place where I was like, you know what? I'm not doing certain things anymore until I get, you know, a certain type of woman. I think I'm kind of over this whole dating thing. So, but she says I bully her into a lot of things, which is true. I do.
It just proves that bullying does work.
It does work. I told her I didn't have time for you dragging your feet on everything. So this is what we're doing.
And the thing is, she likes it, right?
It's been very successful.
Yeah.
Very successful.
Yeah. Yeah. So bullying works 100%.
So it's great though, right? It's great to be in this unusual, scary place.
Well, you know what was really eye-opening was one of my girlfriends pointed out in her relationship, she said she was so used to loving people in the dark. Right? Meaning that it wasn't like on a public, you know, forum, or she was scared to even talk about a relationship because she was scared it would go to shit, or, you know, she didn't even want to post any pictures or anything like that, to now where she's in a space where she's like, she had to be receptive to being loved out loud because, you know, he sends her affirmation, he posts her pictures, he, you know, every day it's, you know, him going out of his way to make her happy. And I was like, because you deserve it. Right? Like, you're deserving of good things to happen to you and for you, so let him do it. And I was like, look at me telling her what I need to tell myself.
Yeah. I think when you become patient and become, you know, more understanding of giving yourself a break, I think it's easy for you to give other people a break. And I think that's been the biggest growth between me and you, I think, honestly. I think giving yourself a break, you know, because then you can allow space for somebody else to come in. Personally, that's what I think.
Yeah. No, so that's 100% it. And I'm glad that, you know, we've still been able to make space where we're not neglecting, you know, friends, family, things like that. Right. There's a healthy balance of being able to be there for your person as well as there for, you know, your kids and other family members, where it's not your whole identity is not centric around your partner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can still keep that.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Important. Which is so important.
Thanks for this therapy on air, Sam.
You're welcome.
But no, I'm so excited to
Well, you met my person already.
I have, but that is not my story to tell.
Yeah, that's funny though. That was funny.
I have. But I also believe that, you know, these things happen for a reason. They're intentional, and it's beautiful that we allow good things into us. So I'm not going to be the dead horse on that. It's just, I'm really excited for the holiday season. I am going to remember this day, November 1st, where you said you're not going to do the pajamas, because as soon as the picture's posted, I just want you to know who's going to be the first person in your comments.
Oh, of course.
It's most likely going to be me.
Right.
And I'm going to be like, November 1st, go to the 28-minute mark of our pod and hear what you said. But no, man, it's exciting. I'm excited for the holidays. I've already taken down a lot of the Halloween stuff, and the true fall stuff is up. So the pumpkins, the leaves, all that stuff is still out. Thanksgiving is going to be a lot. So, you know, please understand, if I come back on the pod after Thanksgiving a little bit more plump, it's because I'm going to eat everything in sight. Everything.
Okay. All right.
So I've been, you know, eating healthy for the last two, this is the third week. So like I was saying earlier, like I'm actually fitting in clothes. Things are fitting good again. You know, I'm feeling like myself. The hair is flourishing. You know, I'm outside in these streets looking good. You know, I love that for me. Mm-hmm. So when Thanksgiving comes, Sam, just know any piece of dessert, anything that's on the plate in front of me is getting totally inhaled. And then I'll be good because we'll have to take Christmas pictures. So I'll need to look presentable. So I'll go right back to starving myself again with ice cubes and lettuce so I can look good in my pajama picture this year.
Yeah. So this woman has put me on a 23-day cleanse of no alcohol, which is really difficult for me.
But that's the thing. See, for men, you guys can stop drinking alcohol and everything's going to be fine. You'll lose like 10 pounds, right? Yeah. Women, we stop drinking alcohol and we may lose half a pound.
Yeah, she wanted me to stop drinking. She wanted me to do this sugar fast and, you know, this alcohol thing. And I had to tell her because we were talking about this alcohol. She was like, you know, we was at the game and I feel like you drank a whole bottle and you still wasn't drunk. I was like, that's a good thing, right?
that's great. We're celebrating this, right?
you're saying it's like this is a problem. What are you trying to say here? You
know, I'm trying to find out where this is an issue.
Where's the problem here? But she was like, no, I just, you know, I want to, you know, go on a fast, so we should do it together, or da da da. I'm like, all right, whatever, man. Okay. So I'm begrudgingly doing this. But I do think I need to do it, you know, but
no, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Now, I'll see you right now. She's going to be a little upset because she's not going to lose as much weight as you.
Yeah. But she's already small. I keep trying to tell her this. Like, you're not a big person. Yeah, I don't know why you think
you are.
Yeah,
but we don't see that. You can tell us we're beautiful till you're blue in the face. And we're still going to find something wrong with that. But we have to learn the ability to accept a compliment.
Yeah,
we have to learn the ability to do that. And I just know I struggle with that as well. So I identify. So I would just say, just keep loving on her. Just keep telling her she's beautiful. And, you know, you're going down the right path.
I hope so, because I'd be like, what are you talking about? But, you know.
Yeah, just love her.
I have to tell her. I'm a man. I don't know any better. What do you want me to do?
And on that note, Sam, it has been a pleasure jumping back on the pod with you. I'm so glad that we were able to work through all the technical issues and whatnot. We got a good hour in, the last 20 minutes of a good therapy session. And
we did.
Thinking about our growth. Also acknowledging where we were right about a lot of things, which also does wonders for the ego. Anything else you got before we get out of here?
No. Everything is great. Boy, you crabs. Be humane with the crabs. You know. That's really all I got.
That's your words of wisdom.
That's it. Like,
Jesus. I got it. Guys, thanks for tuning in to So What? What's Next? Where we talk about topics that matter today that you won't care about probably today.
I've been wide awake for about a month. Rounded it up. Mama done told me none of these. And like, boy, get your ass up. Chewing up. I put in the work. Now, blessings counting up. Look at them haters frowning up. So I flex to rile them up. Look at my boss, bending the cars, check my flaws. You can ignore, come to the house, give you a tour. Take your shoes and dirt on my floor. I let it taste, good. She want more, she want more. I let it rain, the blessings coming in pour. Yeah, I spent the bag on a bundle. Turn around and take a flip of me.